by special recording. General Mills, makers of Cheerios, the oat cereal ready to eat, and Wheaties, breakfast of champions, present The Lone Ranger. A cloud of dust and a haughty high of silver, the Lone Ranger. With his faithful Indian companion Tonto, the daring and resourceful masked rider of the plains, led the fight for law and order in the early western United States. Nowhere in the pages of history can one find a greater champion of justice. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear. From out of the past come the thundering hoofbeats of the great horse Silver. The Lone Ranger rides again.
Because he knows he's got go power from Cheerios. Yes, he's got go power.
There he goes.
He's feeling his Cheerios. Cheerios. Cheerios.
And so will you. Once you're eating Cheerios every breakfast, you'll say the Cheerios taste simply wonderful, too. They're already cooked, shaped like little round O's, and just full of good toasted oat flavor. Pour out a big bowlful, add fresh milk, and pitch in. You can almost feel the go power. For a Cheerios breakfast is one of the finest ways you can get the vitamins, proteins, and minerals your body needs. A bowl of Cheerios and milk really starts your day right, helps give you the good red blood, strong bones, and muscles. Go power, you'll get it from Cheerios. Try it, and folks will say,
what? He's feeling his Cheerios.
Ranger and Tonto were camped in an isolated spot on the banks of the Missouri River in northeast Kansas. It was sundown when they saw the new river boat, the Missouri Belle, pass in the middle of the stream on its way from Omaha to St. Louis.
Tonto, that boat will do more to help build up this part of the country.
Than me. Look, back a boat.
Just as the Missouri Belle passed directly in front of them, the masked men and Indians saw two men appear at the stern of a boat carrying a heavy burden. The deck was deserted, and the two men raised the load onto the boat rail, then pushed it into the water. Flailing arms revealed only too plainly what the object was.
Come on, Tonto. Just throw him into the water. I'm going to swim out to where he fell.
The Lone Ranger removed his boots and outer clothing, then, swimming powerfully, reached the center of the stream. He stopped in the wake of the ship's spray, treading water and peering about him. Then he saw the body of a man rise to the surface. Holding the man's head above water with one arm, the Lone Ranger swam back toward the shore. The Lone Ranger and Tonto used medicines and instruments from a medical kit to treat the wounded man. Searching his pockets for some identification, they found that he was Major Clay Burton of the United States Army on duty in Washington, D.C.
Oh, sonny. Him open eyes.
Yes, I think he's becoming conscious. Major Burton.
Huh? What? Where am I? Who are you?
Friends. Don't look so surprised. I wear this mask for personal reasons. We saw them toss you into the water.
The packet. The packet. They stole it. Now I remember.
Keep still a moment, Major, please. You are Major Burton, aren't you?
Yes. How did you know?
You've been unconscious for some time, sir. We presume to go through your clothing, trying to identify you. In the lining, we found these papers.
Oh, yes. They didn't need papers. They knew who I was.
They, Major?
The man with the accent and the blonde one with a rasping voice. You can't be an outlaw. You saved me from the river, didn't you?
Tonto and I did.
You bandaged my shoulder and then... Tonto, you said? This Indian's name is Tonto?
Yes, sir.
Do you have a horse?
I have a white horse, Major. His name is Silver.
And you must be... Of course, that's who you are. Before I came west, General Caldwell told me of you. You know the general?
We've been privileged to perform certain duties for him and the government in the past.
Well, then tell me. Is there some way to get word to the army post at Leavenworth?
Yes, Major. The nearest town is Atchison. We'll be able to send a wire from there.
Then ride there, please. Ask them to intercept the Missouri Bell.
Oh, Major, just a minute. The river curves in a great arc below here. The boat must travel in almost a semicircle before it reaches Atchison. It arrives there about dawn.
It does?
Yes, it docks there for about an hour. If you're willing to try it, sir, we can ride on a straight line across country. We'll be in Atchison by the time the boat arrives there.
Willing to try? Man, my entire future and the future of this country may depend on it. I'm strong enough to... Say, I have no horse.
Silver's a strong one, Major. He'll be able to carry us both, believe me. Otto, we'll get ready to ride at once.
Uh-huh. If we can intercept those two spies...
Spies?
Yes. You wonder about that? Well, let me tell you. You can be trusted in me. I owe my life to you. It may seem startling, but ever since the war between the North and South, certain foreign powers have figured we're a nation without military strength.
I've heard rumors that one or more European nations might invade this country if they were sure our military defenses aren't strong.
But those aren't rumors. They're facts. Major Burton told his mission to all the military posts in the South and Southwest, and the posts in the plain and mountain territories. I was traveling in civilian clothes, and I thought in great secrecy. I must have been mistaken. I completed my mission and had assembled all the military information in a packet which I carried on my person at all times. I boarded the Missouri Bell in Omaha. Was on my way to St. Louis. The Major told how he had gone directly to his outside cabin aboard the boat and how he had remained in his stateroom with the door locked at all times. I intended to get by on the army rations which I carried in my baggage. But early this evening, there was a knock at my cabin door. I wasn't using my own name, as you might imagine. But I thought perhaps it might be the captain or one of the crew making inquiries about my remaining in my cabin. I decided to answer the knock. And so I walked to the door.
Yes? Who is it? Open the door fast. Let me in.
I ask, who is it?
Me, Major. I have a message for you.
What did you say?
Major Burton, it's important. Open the door and let me in.
Just a second. Who are you? Why did you call me, Major?
Nope. Don't reach for that gun. You're covered. You're a dumb one, Major, opening the door just because I called your name when no one was supposed to know it.
What do you want?
That package you're carrying. What else? The one with the troop information. Where is it?
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not a major. Give me that gun.
Give me that gun. You're smart, huh? Got him. Did anyone hear the noise?
I'm not sure. The whistle was blowing, but I was outside.
Close the door.
There. I do not think the shot was heard. No one is at the back of the boat. They are dying.
Never mind. Let's search his hombre and get that package you're looking for. We'll have to work fast. I'll go through his clothes. You go through his baggage.
And I lost consciousness just about then. I faintly recall her carrying me outside after the man with the accent said the deck was clear. I was too weak to struggle. Next thing I remember, I was hitting the water. That's all. Then I came to here.
The packet with the papers, Major. Did they get it?
Yes. I had it strapped around my waist. I couldn't miss it. Oh, what a fool I was to answer that door. I could have known.
Bring packs, you must have it. We're ready to go.
All right, Toto. A few minutes later, with Major Burton sitting in front of the Lone Ranger, the masked man and Tonto started cross-country for the town of Atchison.
Come on.
Put him up the top.
The two men who had robbed and disposed of Major Burton, American renegade Nebo Scott and the foreign agent Paul Saline, sat in a cabin aboard the Missouri Bell. Dawn was breaking when both men glanced anxiously at their watches. Scott spoke first.
We'll be in Atchison in less than an hour.
Yes.
Say, Selene, are you sure things will work out the way you say? That there'll be a coach waiting for us? This big wheel from your country will be in it?
You mean the envoy?
Yeah.
But certain. When you learned last week that Major Burton would leave by boat from Omaha, I notified our envoy at once. Sneeble. When we dock the boat, we go ashore at once and get into the coach. That is the only thing that is important now.
I suppose they learned that Burton's missing from his cabin.
They haven't learned that now. They're not bothered to learn it during a period of landing activity.
But suppose some army men come from Leavenworth.
They will board the boat later, not at that season. By the time we need to be safe.
Ranger, Tonto, and Major Person, weak from his injury and the long and tiresome ride, arrived in Atchison shortly after dawn. They stopped before a frame building with the sign Marshal's Office hanging above the front door. The Lone Ranger said,
"This is Marshal Getty's office. You'll need him to make the arrest. He's going to be caught. All right, Major, I'll help you down from the horse now.
$1,000, and each bill looks so much like the original Confederate bill, you can hardly tell the difference. Say, won't you and your gang have fun with these? As I said, one bill comes free with each special Cheerios package. No waiting, nothing to send in. It's right at your grocer's. If you get a $2 bill in your first package, you may get a $500 bill in the next, and so on. It's easy to collect a whole set of 9 different bills, and I bet you'll want to be the first in your neighborhood to have them all. And you have something else that's good, too. Cheerios. Seems everybody loves that wonderful toasted oat flavor. And everybody needs the go power Cheerios gives. Remember now, inside each special Cheerios package, there's a copy of a real, genuine Confederate bill. Start collecting yours today.
Marshal Getty, though sleepy-eyed, was awake and dressed. He came into his office and greeted his visitors with surprise. The Lone Ranger introduced Major Burton, who hurriedly told his story. As Burton finished, Marshal Getty slapped on his gun.
Hi, Zep. Well, come on, let's hurry down to the dock and get him.
It's daylight and the dock will be busy, Marshal. Because of my mask, I'd better remain here. But Connor will go with you.
Marshal Getty and Major Burton, who followed in a buckboard wagon.
Get up there! Come on! Ho! Ho! Ho!
Getty and the Major reached the dock side a few minutes after Tonto had arrived there. The Indians who dismounted hurried to them.
Marshal, when we get here, boat already land and people get off. Me not know if Crook's sleep boat.
Well, let's find out if they did or not. That's Dick Calhoun of the boat line. Stand by the gangplank. He'll know. Let's ask him, Major.
Major Burton described the hulking blonde man to Dick Calhoun. The dock boss said,
"Sure, I saw that fella. He and the little fella with the mustache left the boat a few minutes ago. The little fella talked foreign like.
Which way they go, do you know?
Sure. There was some coachman or something waiting for him. He took the little fella's bag and led him to a fine-looking coach. And then, hey, there's the coach now, just turning, ready to drive out into River Street.
Well, I'll stop him. Tonto, I'm going to use your horse.
Oh, you take it. Steady, boy. Get up.
Come on. Marshal Getty, riding scout, set after the coachman's team. Shooting his gun and shouting as he rode.
Stop! Stop those horses! Stop, I said!
The coachman, frightened by the shots that whizzed by his head, brought the horses to a stop. Marshal Getty caught up with the carriage and
dismounted.
Inside the coach, the renegade Nebo Scott had crouched low on the floor so that he would not be seen from the outside.
tall stallion, sitting beside an impressive-looking old man, stepped from the coach and faced Marshal Getty.
What does he mean, that they too hard?
I'm the marshal of this town.
Get back into the coach. I'll handle this.
The old man, a figure of outraged dignity, stepped from the coach as Paul Saline quickly returned to the seat inside. The old man faced Marshal Getty and flourished official papers already in his hand when he emerged.
You peasant, you assassin! How dare you fire upon my coach? How dare you try to murder me?
I wasn't trying to murder anybody. I'm the law. I told your driver to stop.
The world shall hear of this indignity to the envoy of a friendly nation. Such an insult. You... Do you know who I am?
No.
I am a diplomat. I am immune to arrest and search.
Marshal, what's going on here? Why don't you... Mr. LaPorte.
Oh, so this man knows me.
You know this man, Major?
Yes. I've seen him in Washington. He's the chief representative from one of the European countries.
Back in the marshal's office, a white-faced and shaking Major Burton spoke indignantly as he told the Lone Ranger.
And he was right. He possesses diplomatic immunity anywhere in this country. I'll advise Leavenworth and I'll wire to the War Department in Washington, too. But even they'll be unable to stop the man without the hazard of starting a war.
I never heard of such spots before. I was willing to arrest the whole shebang, but they started spouting all that law stuff and talked me out of it.
Major, do you think those papers of yours are in that coach?
Certainly.
Just as I'm sure the men who stole them are in it. Toto, will you know that coach when you see it again?
The one crooks go away in? Not keen to study.
Then we're riding after it.
Now, hold on. What are you going to do?
Something the army or the law can't do. Major, if I were you, I'd head for Leavenworth at once. Perhaps I'll see you there before the day's over. Come on, Toto.
Well, I'll be doggone.
Easy, fella. Easy, fella.
Toto, you saw the road they took?
Keen to study. Go south.
We'll get them if it's the last thing we do.
Envoy LaFore, Paul Saline, and Nebo Scott were laughing as the driver headed southward through the barren countryside.
Well, we proceed like this to Kansas City and continue to the eastern seaboard by train. We deny any and all accusations made by American officials. They must accept our denials.
What about me? When do I get paid off?
They fired us. An Indian rides down on us. And a man in a mask.
The Lone Ranger and Tonto had taken a shortcut. When they saw the coach, they rode down from a rise to the side of the road shooting. Inside the coach, Evo Scott pushed the two excited corners back into their seats.
Let me handle this. I'll shoot it out with him.
Nebo drew his gun, and fighting the masked man, thrust his arm through the open coach window. Before he could fire, a bullet smashed his arm.
They have hurt him.
Hold it. Oh, he's not going to be shot.
All right, you in there. If you don't want to be shot, step out here. Come on out. We're waiting.
All right. I go first. I follow.
The two diplomats and the wounded Nebo Scott stepped onto the road and were lined up beside the quivering coach driver. The Lone Ranger and Tonto, menacing in their roles of pretended highwaymen, barked out orders.
Not move an inch and we shoot you.
You stand still. You cannot do this. I am an envoy to your country. I am a man you cannot touch.
Oh, is that so? Toto, search him first.
No. You must not touch that pocket lock.
Oh, you savvy. Him have big leather package inside pocket.
Open it. See what's inside.
This is not money. We have money. Take that. But leave that packet.
Well, Toto. Ah, yes. Those must be the papers.
If you guys are working for anyone...
We're working for the United States. You're not. Toto, I'll take the packet. You bandage that man's arm. I'll tell you what to do after that.
When Nebo Scott's arm was bandaged, Tonto unhitched the horses from the coach.
Yeah, come
along. The Lone Ranger instructed Nebo Scott and Paul Saline to mount the horses. They protested, but finally obeyed.
This is enough, Ray.
That's better. Now you're coming with us, Ray.
Where are you taking us?
Leavenworth's not too far south of here. I think we'll go there.
That is where the military are.
Yes, and where they shoot spies.
This is cause for war. What are you going to do with me?
You're immune from arrest. Perhaps you're immune from thirst and hunger, too. Huh? I'll leave you here.
No, that is savagery.
Don't get too panicky. Something tells me you'll be picked up before the day's over. Your coachman will keep you company here. All right, you other two, start moving fast. We'll be right behind you.
Come on.
Oh, through there.
Thank you. Lone Ranger and Tonto reach the army post at Leavenworth, they turned Lebo Scott and Paul Stallion over to the authorities. When the Lone Ranger told his story, he gave the commanding officer the stolen packet. The officer said,
"Thank you. The nation will be grateful for what you've done."
Major Burton arrived later in the day in a specially hired stagecoach. Envoy LaFleur and LaFleur's coachman were with him.
I found them trudging along the road on my way here. Colonel, did a masked man arrive here today?
Why, yes. He's gone now, but he brought us Nebo Scott.
What?
A renegade army man has already confessed to following you aboard the Missouri Belle. Scott also confessed that he shot you and implicated the other man, Paul Salino.
No.
I'm holding a certain packet.
Oh, wonderful. Mr. LaFleur told me what happened. He said an outlaw held him up and stole a... Mr. LaFleur, what did the outlaw steal?
Oh, you are smart, aren't you? You were trying to implicate me, a diplomat, in a matter of espionage. Well, I shall deny everything.
For diplomatic reasons, I'm sure you're doing the right thing. You'll save your country's soiled honor and let Saline go to jail.
I deny I know such a man. And let me tell you, you could not use legal means to do what you did. You had to resort to that outlaw.
Only because that man is a law unto himself, LaFleur, and no outlaw. For our own reasons, we too shall be diplomatic in our reports. We'll say we did not violate your immunity status. We'll say that was done by the man you mentioned. But just between the three of us, LaFleur, we'll all know that he's the Lone Ranger. Just knowing that champions are made, not born. Otto Graham, famed quarterback for the Cleveland Browns, made himself a champ. Listen, young Otto on his way to fame found football was no sissy game. Took power and speed and head work too. And Graham learned, as champions do, that Wheaties help a guy come through. Now Otto passes for that score and still eats Wheaties even more. Otto Graham's been calling the right breakfast signal for 23 years. A big bowl of Wheaties. E-man breakfast? There's a whole kernel of wheat in every Wheaties flake.
Touchdown, Otto. Let's go, boys. Hey.
He's on his way.
He's on his way.
On his way.
Get on your way.
With Wheaties. Cause champions are made, not born.
Yes, sir.
Get on your way.
Get on your way.
Get on your way with Wheaties. Breakfast of champions.
Is created by George W. Trendle. Produced by Trendle Campbell Muir Incorporated. Directed by Charles D. Livingston. And edited by Fran Stryker. The part of the Lone Ranger is played by Brace Beamer. Your announcer, Fred Foy. The Lone Ranger is brought to you by General Mills. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at this same time. Be sure to listen. This recorded program has come to you from Detroit. This is ABC Radio Network.